We are continuing to look at the Ten Commandments this morning. We're looking at the Eighth Commandment today, found in Exodus 20, verse 15. There we read, the Word of God says, "Thou shalt not steal." Last time I mentioned how the Scriptures teach us that all things that we have, every good and perfect gift comes from God. Everything that we have received. And because we have received all things, this helps us to understand how to properly use the things that God has given us. If God has given us all things, then obviously all things belong to God. And if all things belong to God, then He gets to determine how those things are to be used. And there is a glorious freedom, brothers and sisters, with being in Christ, because when we are in Christ, we no longer have to seek our own kingdom and build our own kingdom. It's a very stressful thing to build your own kingdom. But we have the great and glorious blessing of receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So whatever we do with the things that God has given us, we get to use it for His kingdom, which is a much more greater and glorious end than our own kingdom could ever be. Stuff is not meant to be collected, hoarded, and used for selfish ends. Stuff is meant to be used for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. We want to look at what the Eighth Commandment forbids. What does it forbid us from doing? And I would like to read the Larger Catechism again this morning. Question 142, it says, what are the sins forbidden in the Eighth Commandment? It says, the sins forbidden in the Eighth Commandment, besides the neglect of the duties required, are theft, robbery, man-stealing and receiving anything that is stolen, fraudulent dealing, false weights and measures, removing landmarks, injustice and unfaithfulness in contracts between man and man, or in matters of trust, oppression, extortion, usury, bribery, vexatious lawsuits, unjust enclosures and depredation, engrossing commodities to enhance the price, unlawful callings, and all other unjust or sinful ways of taking or withholding from what belongs to our neighbor, or of enriching ourselves, covetousness, inordinate prizing and affecting worldly goods, distrustful and distracting cares and studies in getting, keeping, and using them, envying at the prosperity of others, as likewise idleness, prodigality, wasteful gaming, and all other ways whereby we do unduly prejudice our own outward estate and defrauding ourselves of the due use and comfort of that estate which God hath given us. What a list we have here. Obviously, our brothers at the Westminster Assembly were not socialists. They understood that the Scriptures have much to say about the things that God has created and how those things are to be used rightly. And it says that any way in which we take from our neighbor's outward estate unlawfully is a violation of the Eighth Commandment. When we use the word estate, we're referring to those things which God has given someone, whether it's money or possessions or capital or even a position, perhaps. Anything that diminishes our neighbor's estate or our own unlawfully is forbidden by this commandment. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 tells us that the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful. And so as we think about each of the commandments and think of about all the ways in which they are broken, we have to be really digging rather deep to understand the deceit that often we see in our society and we see in our own hearts. So we know that the Eighth Commandment, it forbids bank robbery and stealing gum from the gas station. We understand that. But we have to be aware of these other ways in which we defraud our neighbor and ourselves. And the Catechism points out how we have this general tendency towards unfaithfulness and a lack of integrity. It says, fraudulent dealing, false weights and measures, removing landmarks, injustice and unfaithfulness in contracts between man and man or in matters of trust. Sinful man wants to get things for himself. And he is particularly skilled at finding ways to do that in such a way that does not appear to be as bad as it is. I remember back in the early 2000s, when I was younger, this technology was coming into existence. Obviously, the internet had been around for a couple of years, but it was this music sharing site. Perhaps you remember Napster. Anybody remember that? And there was others like that. It was called peer-to-peer sharing, and basically you could get on the system and you could share your files with somebody else, and everybody could log into this big system and get files, which means you could share music, movies, books, any other digital content. And it was hugely popular. All the teens were doing it. Everybody would get on there and find whatever album they were hoping for and just download it just like that. And it would be in possession immediately. And we didn't seem to see the issues here. Many of us didn't. We didn't understand that the harm that was being done in such a system. It's a good example of how technology can be used for sinful ends. But it was so easy, wasn't it? It didn't hurt anybody. It wasn't like I went into Best Buy and put a bunch of CDs in my bag and ran out. Just clicked the button and it would come right to me. It didn't feel like you were taking something. It didn't feel like you were stealing something. How could that be a problem? Now, as I look back at that, I see now how we were defrauding our neighbor. Sometimes we were defrauding sinful neighbors, of course. Sometimes we were downloading music that we shouldn't have been listening to anyway, but that doesn't change the fact of the matter. It was stealing. It was taking from someone and the labor that they had put into something at no cost and taking from them. And this is one example of how unfaithfulness and lack of integrity just creeps in and causes us to not be able to see and understand that this is indeed the breaking of God's commandments. It also mentions failure to keep contracts, breaking of contracts. Why do we even have contracts? Well, because we know if we don't have these contracts, that people are going to slither their way out and not keep their responsibilities. But when we make contracts with others, we have obligations. It's effectively a form of a vow, isn't it? And we know how seriously the Bible takes making vows. The scriptures say that God has no pleasure in fools, so pay what you owe. Perhaps it's mowing a lawn, designing a website, constructing something, whatever it is that you do, we must be faithful in the contracts that we make with others. When we vow something, we are obligated before God to repay it. The Catechism also mentions towards the end, it's getting rich schemes. It says studying and spending all your time trying to figure out how to get rich. It basically says if all your life is about getting rich, you're breaking this commandment. Obviously, the 10th commandment speaks to that as well, coveting. But when our lives are consumed and bound with this pursuit of riches, we break this commandment because we are not content with the possessions that God has given us. Inevitably, in that pursuit of riches, we're going to tend to defraud someone. 1 Timothy 6, it says, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This is one of the soberest, grave warnings in Scripture about the deceitfulness of riches. In the end of this pursuit of riches, it says, is sorrow. Just read the stories of the richest people who have ever lived. Do you think they were the happiest people who ever lived? You know better than that, don't you? Read the stories of those who have won the lottery. Again, not the happiest people who have ever lived. Nobody can buy themselves happiness. Nobody can buy themselves joy. One of the most popular rap albums released over the last 10 or 20 years was 50 Cent's album, Get Rich or Die Trying. You don't have to read the lyrics of the particular song to get the idea. There's a reason that that album is so popular. That perfectly communicates what the lives of many are all about. Get rich or die trying. But we know so much better that in this pursuit of riches, it's not going to be worth it, right? Ecclesiastes points out so well to us that all is vanity and vexation if that's all it's about. If life under the sun is just about getting riches, you're not going to have anything to show for it. You're just going to die and you're going to pass those riches on to another. So instead, we must ask, what has God given us these things for? It's not for our building of our own kingdom, as I said. That's not going to bring anything of great value in the long term. It's for the building of God's kingdom. And the other great thing is that He has given us exactly what we need to do that. He has given us all we need. I think Proverbs 30 really is the sort of prayer that we ought to be praying, the sort of thing we ought to be memorizing. Proverbs 30, verse 8. It says, "Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me." So it's neither poverty nor riches. I don't want either one. I just want what is needful. That's what we want. And even as sometimes God blesses us with great riches and wealth, He has given us those things for a particular reason and not for the building of our own kingdom. So brothers and sisters, I encourage you this day to meditate and ponder Proverbs 30, that we ask God what is needful for us, and then we ask Him to show us how to use it for His kingdom. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God in heaven, we thank You that You have given us so many good gifts. We give thanks that You have blessed us in so many ways, and we ask that You would help us to be even more thankful for these things. We ask that day by day, as we use these resources that You've given us, that You would show us how we might use them for furthering the kingdom of Christ and spreading the glory of Your name throughout this earth. We ask that You would help us to be content with what You have given us, and that we would desire simply for You to feed us with the daily bread that we need. Now we do take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.